I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 449. Welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. A few of you who are avid listeners might say to yourself, hey, I thought Michelle said she was using a Michael W. Smith song this week. And indeed, that was the plan. Don't fret, that will come next week, but my crazy Christmas life just got the best of me this week, and so I pulled out one of my favorite Christmas episodes out of the vault. So enjoy this encore episode, and I'll jump in on the other side to welcome new subscribers and let you know how to connect. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas around my house. We have parties planned for friends and family in the coming days, and I love hosting things at my home, and I'm expecting great memories from this holiday season. And since the beginning of the podcast, I have taken the opportunity to use Christmas music to launch us into Scripture. And it's not that you can't read and meditate on the Christmas story in July, and I hope you do, but if you look closely at God's Word, you will see He is a fan of tradition and celebrations to remind His people of all He has done for us. So there is a precedent for celebrating things like the birth of the Savior of the world and doing so every year in a meaningful way. So this week we will be using Carrie Jobe's song, When Hope Came Down, and I'm so excited about what I discovered this week. I hope my ponderings will inspire some of your own, but as a starting off point, let's listen to the chorus of Carrie Jobe's song, When Hope Came Down. Not sure what your Christmas traditions are, whether you have any Advent traditions or not, but while I don't have a liturgical background, I really enjoy the practices of Advent. My friends and I have been sharing the resources we use with our kids, and I'll post some of them in the show notes, but I have a couple of daily reading devotional books to read during Advent, and I really like transitioning from an expectant waiting for gifts on Christmas Day to living with an expectant heart every day as we wait for the gift, Jesus Christ, to return the second time. Of course, Christmas is a celebration of how He came the first time, a reminder of the expectancy we have for hope and a Savior. We have the four gospel books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to tell us of Jesus's time on earth. And Matthew begins with the genealogy of Christ and transitions into the birth of Christ. Mark begins his gospel when Jesus was already an adult. Luke, the doctor, gives the most details of the birth of Christ and his cousin and forerunner, John the Baptist. John focuses in on the idea that deity became flesh through Christ. So if you're going to review the traditional Christmas story, spend some time this month in Matthew and Luke's account. There is one Bible interaction tool exercise that I want you to employ all month. I call my Bible interaction tool exercises bites for short. And this is a bite I want you to chew on all month. And it's the bite of repetition. No matter how familiar you are with the Christmas story, read it. Read it again. Read it in Matthew and read it in Luke and read it in the English Standard Version. Read it in the Message Version. Read it in other translations. Listen to it on YouVersion or another audio version. Read it out loud. Read it out loud with friends and family. actually, that was kind of a list of multiple bites, wasn't it? Repetition, listening to scripture, reading in a variety of translations, reading aloud and sharing with friends. These are all bites that you can take this month as we wait for Christ's birth to celebrate that on Christmas Day. All right, so this week, our journey through scripture will also include the bite of asking questions, specifically four application questions that I will give you at the end of the podcast. So are you ready? All right, let's jump into the part of the Christmas story that you will be reading a lot this month, right? That our song sings about. In Luke chapter 2, we read this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. All right, so that was 21 verses of Luke chapter 2, and our song talks about the angels lifting up their voices, filling the night with alleluias, and the lyric, "God is with us now," is referenced to the name also given to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And all to hear the song creation sang when hope came down. And that is what I want to focus on today, the idea that hope came down. Now, Jesus's home was in heaven with the Father, and he came down. The baby we just read about was God in flesh, God with us, his presence among us, with human beings just like us, and growing in favor with God and man, just like we have the opportunity to do. Our human desire for God's presence, the desire for God to rescue us, to come down and give us hope, is not new. In Isaiah 64, we read, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence." Rend the heavens, tear them wide open, remove the barriers between us and God. And Isaiah 64:4 says, "From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him." And Advent season is all about the waiting. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, and it means coming. We are waiting for the coming of Christ. We are waiting for hope to come down. And I read a story this week about some folks who were waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah, and he was standing right in front of them. They wanted God to rend the heavens and come down, and didn't even realize he already had. And I found it because it was a place in scripture where Jesus himself said that he was the hope that came down from heaven. God indeed did rend the heavens. He removed the barriers and sent his own son to be God with us. And in John chapter 6, Jesus says this, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." I've come down from heaven, he said. God acted on behalf of those who were waiting for him, and they were missing it. He was right there in front of them, and they were missing it. You know, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 and then he walked on water and people were still seeking him. They hunted him down because they had more questions. And it says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Jesus has a way of slicing through the malarkey and getting right to the point, doesn't he? They didn't even ask him a question yet, other than to ask how he got there. They knew something was up because he didn't get on the boat with his disciples and there were no other boats, but he cut right through to their real motive. Jesus calls him on it. You didn't seek me because of the signs, because of the miracles, but because you were finally full. Matthew Henry's commentary says that they didn't seek Jesus because of his doctrine, but rather their bellies. In other words, they weren't thinking, wow, you know, we really need to listen to this teacher. His miracles prove his authority, and therefore we really need to know and understand what he's talking about and follow him. No, they were thinking, wow, if we hang around this guy, we might get more food. We might benefit in a way that brings favor to our lives. Now, was it both true? If they hung around Jesus, they would benefit both from his words leading to eternal life, but they would also benefit from the blessings that come as a result of his miracles and love. But what does Jesus say our primary focus needs to be? Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. So stop focusing on the stuff that benefits you. Stop striving for the provision. Stop seeking the blessing. Strive after the food that endures to eternal life. And who will give that to us? But Jesus, the Son of Man. When hope came down, he came for a purpose. Not to make our lives easier here, not to fulfill temporal things, but to save us for eternity. And the thing is, in my own personal experience, when we hear, listen, receive, and heed God's words, we get both salvation and the miracles and blessings that come with an abiding relationship with him. So let's go back to John chapter 6 and keep reading. Then, starting in verse 25, then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, once again, they're asking one thing, but they're asking with a motive. You know, in this case, it's almost as if they're asking Jesus to trump what they know to be superior. And I think they're giving this particular example because Jesus's miraculous feeding of them reminds them of another provision they have only read about. You know, their ancestors were fed once, but that bread came from heaven. How many times do we think we're seeking one thing, we have an understanding based on our current knowledge, and God reveals to us that our motives are not what we think they are? We are deceiving ourselves. So Jesus said to them in Scripture, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I just want to pause here and mention that manna from heaven was a foreshadowing of Christ, the bread of life, coming from heaven. And every time you see these types of connections in Scripture, it's a good idea to go and read in the Old Testament and spend some time studying and understanding that connection. But what was the response of the people when they heard about the bread of God that comes down from heaven, giving life to the world? Well, they said this. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And here's our feature verse. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then I love how Jesus thinks. You know, he answers the question we should be asking at this point based on what he just revealed. So the question should be, then what is the will of him who sent me? All right, so he answers it. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. All right, so at this point, we have used a tradition of remembrance and celebration to lead us to a song that reminds us of the Christmas story, but also brings a phrase, when hope came down, to light. We discover in Scripture that the desire for God's presence to be among us is not new, and the cry to rend the heavens has actually occurred when hope came down. Then we discovered an area of Scripture when Jesus himself reveals to his audience that he, in fact, came down from heaven to do God's will and doesn't leave us hanging. He shares that will with us. So let's ask some application questions. What does God want me to think and understand? What does God want me to believe? What does God want me to desire? And what does God want me to do? Well, we've actually been exploring these questions all along because we can see ourselves in this crowd of people seeking Jesus. The thing is, I'm going to give you my answers. After spending time in this story myself and reading and pondering, praying and meditating, these are my answers. I want you to give God a chance to speak to you personally. Get in there for yourself and then listen. Okay, so here are my answers to our application questions. What does God want me to think and understand? Well, the big thing that jumps out at me is that he wants me to understand that I can be deceived. I can deceive myself. I can think I'm seeking him with right motives, but in fact, I'm not. All right, so what does God want me to believe? Well, he wants me to believe that eternal things matter more than temporal fulfillment. And what does God want me to desire? He wants me to desire the food that endures to eternal life. What does God want me to do? He wants me to believe in his Son and ultimately to believe that his Son is the only bread and water I need. So through all my study this week, I've discovered that we want the feeling of hope. We want the fact that hope came down for us to mean that we can feel hopeful. But I think in seeking the hope, it's kind of like the crowd wanting the food. We desire the feeling of hope, but God wants us to desire hope himself. So what's next? Well, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, read the Christmas story a lot this month. In addition, this week, spend some time in John chapter 6, where we see an exchange between Jesus and a crowd seeking after him. Jesus declares that he came down from heaven for a purpose. Read all about it for yourself and then ask yourself the application questions. What does God want me to think and understand? What does God want me to believe? What does God want me to desire? And what does God want me to do? I hope you enjoyed this encore episode of More Than a Song. And while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, Michelle@MichelleNeesat.com. You can hop on Twitter or Instagram @MichelleNeesat or on Facebook, Michelle L. Neesat is my public page, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network, and you can check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. I would be honored if you followed the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. But if you sign up on my website at michelleneesat.com, then I'm able to email you once a week with the show notes of all the scriptures I use, links to the resources I use in my personal study, and all of that conveniently into your inbox. And my featured free resource for new email subscribers this week is a one-page PDF of my top 5 bites. You can get started moving beyond merely reading scripture and start interacting with it, and you can use this tool to help. So head over to michelleneesat.com to subscribe today. And with that in mind, I want to thank my newest subscribers who've subscribed lately, like Michael from the Philippines and Peter Rose from Connecticut. Welcome. Now, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website or through iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you haven't left a review yet, could you please do that today by heading over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will be featuring God with God by Michael W. Smith to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michelleneesat.com/449. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's Word and consider His ways.